Hello and welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 94, Strangely Difficult Levels in Otherwise Normal Games. With me, George, as always joined by Bobby, blast through levels like a hot knife through butter to my unable to even turn on the console. Bobby, how is it going?
It's going okay. I'm a little stressed out, but it's good.
We're a day late recording because you did the hot podcasters magazine cover shoot yesterday. How did it go?
Okay, a lot of oil, but it was okay. A little too much oil. Other than that, though, they're going great.
Okay, I'm sure they
got
all
the, they got the right angle. They know what they're doing. I just had to be there.
Awesome. Little controversial shoot, really, but you know, for a PG podcast. But I think for the female demographic,
it should be. Hopefully they buy. That was the point of it.
You're like a mastodon, stood atop the podcasting world. I bathe in your reflected glory. And, you know, I use it as a pickup line. You know, I know Bobby is what I say. And that gets me my 10 penneth. Let's, before
what's
we...
10 penneth, what is that, like a dollar?
10 cents, that's my 10 cents.
Oh, okay, 10 cents. Yeah.
Sorry, I live in New York with you, but it's, I still speak a little English.
It sounded cool, though.
Okay, well, there you
like
go.
Like a penny? Like, I thought it was like a lot of money.
No, right. It's the equivalent of 10 cents. In fact, it's 5 cents if you adjust for the...
half penny.
Not to worry. Anyway, before we get lost in currency exchange, let's give the fans new and old a rundown how the show's going to go. So coming up, we've got the news in there, some interesting news for everybody, some Pokemon news as well. So Bobby's... probably not going to be reading out that bit of news. If he is, he's going to call him Pokemans. Then we've got the feature, which is the aforementioned difficult levels in otherwise normal games. Those games that just come out of those levels that come out of nowhere in games and make you question why you're even playing it. Then the real deal, the Stingray, rips up Fifth of Main. That man is bound not by geography, not by time, not by space. He answers to no man. Then the show ends. When I ask Bobby what he's hoping to play. But the show cannot begin until I say to Odders, grip tight on that stack of Brady guides, friend, as I ask Bobby, what you been playing?
Sniper Elite 3. Ooh. And we're on the fourth level for 4 days now. Okay? On Authentic, there's no map. There's no nothing, okay? We get to the last part of the level where we have to save an asset. We understand exactly how the bullet drop works from this position. We are firing away at Nazis. And there's always one Nazi that we do not know where he is. And then he kills the asset. Mm. And then the game goes right back to the very beginning.
No.
It takes us an hour and a half to get there every time. There's no checkpoints on Authentic.
My goodness, Bobby. That's a little savage.
And then I put a little bit of Cyberpunk. I'm just trying to finish it now at this point. And we played We Were Here Too with my boy Marlon. And we did all the trophies except for one, because you can't die at all during... during one of these runs. So I was trying to explain to him, if you ever took an aptitude test, right, there's a cross on the wall with symbols, and you have to pretend that that's just an opened box, an opened cube. How would it look closed?
Yeah.
And describing this to him, it's like, my man, I can't help you. Here's a picture. All right, go for it. Can't do it. So I can do it faster than him. But there's two levels you can die in, and if you die, it's to start over.
Oh no.
But I mean, it's still a fun game. It's not hard. There's, you know, they said there's unlimited puzzles, but in reality there's maybe like 5 combos of each run through. So we kind of memorize them all at this point.
Mm.
So if you're good at it, like 20 minutes, you can beat the game. It's not bad. I like it. When then we like it so much we bought the third game. We Were Here Together, part 3.
All in.
I'm in. I bought the whole series pack. Listen, the free download, thank you. because of that, I bought two more of your games.
Beautiful. In that regard, the idea worked, didn't it?
It 100% worked. I had a great time. Listen, if you got a friend, go play some puzzles. It's like an escape room. That's it for me, bro. What about you?
Well, what prompted this show's title, Difficult Levels and Otherwise Normal Games, Little Big Planet. I don't know why. I went to the shelf. I cleared the decks down. I went to the shelf after completing the show. Obviously, I've had all the games shipped over here, and I looked up and I saw Little Big Planet, and I thought, yeah, I remember playing with that back in the day, but never really doubling down on it. So I pulled it down, and I had a blast. The floating physics make it a little bit hard sometimes to land on levels with precision, on like little platform sections with precision. But for the most part, I'm thinking, yeah, this is fun. Then I hit this certain level. I can't remember the name of it now. I think one of the listeners has messaged in and actually they refer to it. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And it was just ridiculously nails. Then the difficulty spike disappeared and it was plain sailing right till the last area. Now, I want to punch Sackboy into next Tuesday. Oh my God. Like the actual sort of Twitch timing of it as well. I'm sure I'll get it done. I know I will. Other than that, well, we'll cover the games off. Mm-hmm. So I have been trying to get hold of for ages a copy of Africa for the PS3. Now, you quite rightly say not every game's for everyone, but I put to you that an African Safari PlayStation exclusive where you're taking photos of animals is not for everyone. And I would say it's a very small demographic of people that's for. But when I saw it at Sony's E3 presentation all that time back in the day, I thought to myself, I've got to have it. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I actually find it thoroughly enjoyable. For a 2009 game, frightfully pretty to look at. Very high texture levels and the actual sort of animation of the animals is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only in the starter stage at the moment, so there's nothing too crazy. Animal-wise, there's some gazelles and some wildebeest and there's some hippos, which can pose a bit of a problem if you antagonize them, because hippos, believe it or not, are one of the most deadly animals in Africa. They can they can run really fast and they can just destroy you in seconds if they wanted to. They're very, very powerful animals and territorial. So I had a couple of like brief moments with them where they kind of saw me and I was like, uh-oh, and I kind of reversed back into the bush that I'd crawled out of to take this picture. And you start off with like a very basic camera and no matter how hard you try, the pictures come out fuzzy on purpose. Mm-hmm. But I managed to actually capture all the images that the National Geographic magazine and different people around the world had sent me to capture while I'm in this savannah. And so I got a new camera as an upgrade, and it's all Sony equipment as well, licensed because it's a Sony game. So I've moved on to this next camera with a telephoto lens and autofocus. And the next mission after that, we were sent a request by National Geographic to get some action shots of a cheetah in a hunt. And that was really compelling. Like you see it on an anthill sort of sidling down, some gazelles in the distance, and it breaks into the run and you've got to try and capture it at the right moment. And you're sort of snapping footage off as you go. And the other thing you can do as well is if you hold the DualShock up and tilt it, if you rotate the DualShock anti-clockwise, the viewfinder on the screen changes. So now if you were taking a photo in panoramic mode, and then you turned it upwards, you could take a picture in landscape mode as well. So it gives you the options with the motion sensing to be able to move the camera with the controller. So that makes a whole other level of kind of artistry to it, I would suppose. But yeah, it's a novel game, but it's very interesting. It's kind of sucked me in and I don't think it will let go. You get rated on the photos that you take and it tries to teach you like the basics of photography and other bits and bobs. So I've been enjoying that. The other thing I've been doing is my PSP, my white PSP 1000, kind of started to exhibit some issues with some buttons and the power switch was not very good. So I went to repair it and I need some parts, which I've ordered. And then I thought, well, while I'm on here, I'll find another PSP, which I did for $26, let's say. Mm-hmm. And it came and it was a right state. You needed loads of work. So I'm basically buying a piano black shell so I can create one mint brand new looking I've ordered some other parts as well, so this thing will be like factory fresh, because I always wanted the piano black one, but everyone you see has got scuffs and marks, so I want mine to be mint. Then I've ordered a front shell, so out of the remaining parts, I will make a nice-looking white one. So I've got a white and a black, and I've also got, I bought it from Gotham Games, actually, a Radiant Red PSP 3000, which is slick, but it's not like the original form factor. It's not got the eject button. It's manually eject and other stuff like that. So that's the other thing I've been doing gaming-wise. I don't know as that's... So if you're listening and you've got broken PSPs lying around or not in very good condition that you just don't play with anymore, here's a man who wants to take it off your hands. So either reach out, questions at unofficialcontrollerpodcast.com, or hit me up on the Discord and we shall work something out. Might be willing to slip you a couple of cents, you know. Yeah. But there's news. Some would say it's not really news. I've been sucked deep into the PS3 well again. The PlayStation 5, I turned it on the other day by accident. It still works, but, you know, I need to get back to Persona 5, really, I need to put some long hours into that. I need to get that first palace beat, which I was on the last boss, and I just got distracted with PlayStation 3. Because I had that issue with it breaking down, and then getting it repaired or getting a new one, you know, the launch edition one. I kind of just got sucked into like the world as if it was 2007 again or 2006 here. I just kind of lost myself back into the matrix of it all, really. But anyway, me playing a game that's damn near 12 years old at this point is not news, Bobby. But this is news. We've scoured the very darkest range of the internet to bring you the latest stories. First up, I threatened he wasn't going to call them Pokemans, but now he's got the first piece of news. It's all about Pokemans. So, Bobby, please refer to them as Pokemans and give us this hot news.
Yeah, I choose you. Alongside the news that Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl will be launching on Switch later this year, today's Pokemon Presents Showcase also unveiled a brand new title, Pokemon Legends Arceus Archers. Is that what I'm saying? No idea.
You know, go with it.
Go with it. A prequel to Diamond and Pearl, the game has been exploring a vast open-world version of Sona as it existed in the past. The goal here is to create the region's first-ever Pokédex, setting the scene for new trainers and events that follow in previously released games. It states, the fun of exploring while catching Pokémon and failing in a Pokédex has always been a core part of Pokémon. It's a video game series. Pokemon Legends Arceus was developed with a desire to deliver an experience infused with new action and RPG elements that go beyond the framework established thus far, while honoring core gameplay of past Pokemon titles. As trainers explore the natural expanses in Pokemon Legends Arceus, they'll encounter Pokemon that call these grand vistas home. To catch wild Pokemon, players can study the Pokemon's behavior. I say it wrong every time I say it. Sneak up onto them, then throw Pokeballs. Players can also battle wild Pokemon with their ally Pokemon by throwing the Pokeball during their ally Pokemon, wild Pokemon. Players will seamlessly enter a battle. This new gameplay angle is intended to provide trainers with immersive experience. Did they have to add that many Pokemon in that sentence?
I think they knew that we would have this in the news, and they
100%
that you say Pokemons.
This says, as in past games, you'll be able to choose from 3 starter Pokemon to begin your adventure. Rowlet, Cyndaquil, and Oshawott as their first partner Pokemon. Naturally, legendary Pokemon Arceus will also play an important role. Oh God, Pokemon Legends Arceus will launch on Switch on 2022. Excited to explore Sona in a brand new way. What do you think to this new open world direction? Don't forget to let us know in the unofficial Discord. Let me tell you something. I don't want to read another Pokemon news.
Anytime now there's Pokemon news, you are the new Pokemon master.
I just can't say it consistently, right?
Well, I'm fine with it. I get great humor in it. And I never thought, when I did the news, I thought to myself, well, I'd better read this out because otherwise he's going to be Pokemon-ing all over the place. But I didn't realize I'd put it first. I thought I'd put it second in the news. But there you go. A little bit of Pokemon news.
You know what's funny? You ever had Poke?
No, what's this?
It's like a Hawaiian thing, right? No. How do I describe it? There's a couple over here in my neighborhood. So it's like they have Pokeballs, which is like Hawaiian style salad, like cold salad, that you can pick and choose and make a little Pokeball bowl out of it. And that reminded me of that. Like, I'm about to catch some salad and put it in a bowl. When I went there, the guy was describing it to me, and I was like, listen, bro, you lost me a Pokeball, Pokeway, Pokedem. How many Pokes can you have?
Well, one thing I would say is, Tom, the now incarcerated previous co-host of the Unofficial Controller podcast, and I often talked about wanting this open world Zelda game. We always wished during the N64 era that they just borrowed the Ocarina of Time engine and made a Pokemon game where you could just sort of go anywhere, catch Pokemon as you saw them in the wild. None of this walk 12 steps and then biddy-diddy-doo into a random battle, you know, turn-based nonsense. And this is the game we always wanted. So I should imagine he fist-bumped the air and probably gave his life partner, Big Rick, who he fell in love with in Riker's Penitentiary, a big cuddle. And he's happy. I think he's got a switch in jail, so he should be happy. Bit more news. New news. Earlier this week, Microsoft held an AI and gaming research summit featuring Xbox head Phil Spencer, Paul Thurrott from the website Thurrott, the same source that originally spotted this event. So good he named it after himself. I mean, that guy's not shy, is he? He's now suggesting Microsoft will also be holding a What's New for Gaming event next month on the 23rd of March. This will apparently follow with a Windows event, but there's no date for this yet. Just last weekend, The Verge's Jeff Grubb hinted at Microsoft hosting a Bethesda-themed event around mid-March once the deal was closed. Bear in mind, listeners, that deal is not yet done. It could fall foul of European monopoly laws. But we'll see. It's led to speculation that these two supposed events might even be linked, although there's another theory that the What's New for Gaming event will purely be business-focused. So possibly some exciting news for the Xbox listeners coming up there, Bobby. One would imagine that could be reasonably exciting stuff if they maybe now double down on their acquisition of Bethesda and are able to sort of hold games down for an exclusive period or maybe lock them on the console together. We will find out possibly by the end of March. We shall be wise. What's next?
Ups and downs. Hot off the latest PlayStation State of Play this week, Final Fantasy VII is getting a PS5 version with all the upgrades shown, such as new lighting engine, photo mode, load time enhancements, and many more named FF7 Integrate. PS fans were more excited when they were able to find out it would be a free upgrade to people who own the PS4 version of Final Fantasy VII. Imagine how excited they got to find that one of PS Plus games from March was a much-beloved FF7 remake. Prepare yourself for the sadness as the FF7 Integrate isn't compatible with this month's PSN version, sadly. You'll need to pick up a copy from either Amazon or eBay to have a copy that will benefit from this PS5 upgrade. Controversial, or you're just happy to get the game free of charge. Who knows what's going on? We'll keep us in the loops anyway if anything changes, but it seems that they may be selling FF7 Integrate separately at a later point. FF7 Integrate also includes an extra Yuffie mission, so there's some value in it if you never picked it up and now own a PS5. Let us know in the Discord your thoughts on the matter.
Again, another great month for PlayStation Plus members. There's some controversy there, like why can't we free copy upgrade? I don't know what the differences are, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll give it a whirl, seeing as it's a free game, you know, using the more modern stylings of Final Fantasy 15. But will I get a physical copy in the end? Yeah, probably. Why not? Add it to the collection. Looks good. So I probably will do. It doesn't matter to me that it's not this PS Plus one's not going to upgrade. I've never, apart from Final Fantasy 15, I've never really been that bothered about deep diving on the modern Final Fantasy's DLC and extra bits and other stuff. I suppose the only other one that I've really even dabbled with any of that was Final Fantasy 13. But really, there's enough content to keep you going. There really is. It would have been a real cool move, but it also would have took the wings out of Square Enix wanting to be able to sell FF7 Integrade separately as well. So at the end of the day, these games are these companies are trying to make money, and offering that game for free is very generous. Obviously, PlayStation have paid them some coin, but then you know it might be Square Enix for all we know that said, "Yeah, we'll you can buy this from us, but we also want to not let this version upgrade because we want to shift a load of FF7 Integrades to PlayStation 5 owners that might have come over from other consoles or other bits and bobs. It might be their first time with the game." I'd imagine that's probably the boardroom mindset behind it. Doesn't wash out very well in the social media world that we live in, does it? You know, hashtag, you know, scandalous. But that's gaming for you.
Sure is.
This last bit of news. We hinted, if you're on the Discord, you would know that we teased that we had a very, very, very big guest coming up. And we have. Big time. Now, this man probably needs no introduction. He was involved in the creation of The Getaway. That's right, on PlayStation 2. He was involved with PlayStation Studios' creation of The Wonder Book. He helped devise the trophies system on PlayStation. He also worked on PlayStation Home. He's also worked for Microsoft in an Xbox Game Studios, which he set up himself. And he's also worked for Ubisoft, creating the For Honor franchise. Now, you might know him as Mike Rouse. He's also Super Retro Gamer Boy on YouTube. And it's our absolute honor and pleasure to have him on. And he's super excited to come on. So we're going to ask him about his history in gaming. Obviously, his successful YouTube channel, but also his history as a games developer. And, you know, the transition between PlayStation and Xbox and Ubisoft and other bits and bobs is absolutely fascinating. And it's the likes of Guest we've never had on before. So there'll be lots of themed posts going up this week. Questions about The Getaway, questions about the difference between working for PlayStation and Xbox, questions about, he also worked on SingStar, questions about that, questions about Wonderbook, questions about creating PlayStation Trophies ecosystem, questions about PlayStation Home, questions about running a successful YouTube channel, all that sort of good stuff would be very well received. So keep your eyes peeled on the Instagram for that coming up. And it's an absolute honor to have him on. And let's grill him as best we can and find out all sorts of wonderful stuff about games of yore. Obviously, The Getaway is a very fan favorite here in the UK or here in the UK and here in the USA. So, you know, of much interest to everybody, I would imagine. And so thank you again, Mike, for that. And we will, we'll see you next episode. Thing is though, Bobby, with that amazing news out, on the run up to show 100, we've got some exciting things planned. Mike's obviously the first stage in that. So, you know, exciting times for the show as we approach that big triple figures, Bobby. It's big times for an official controller podcast, you know, growing into we very early out the gates got into the top 10 charts all over the world. And that was, you know, absolutely resounding success. And that's thanks really to the wonderful listeners out there. And do we ask money for this show, Bobby, or is it free of charge?
Free.
Do we ram adverts down their throat in the beginning, middle, or end of the show?
No.
That's awfully generous of us, Zutamax Media and El Buccio, isn't it? And one would imagine that we've also got a Discord as well. That has to be locked behind a monetized paywall. Bring in high quality content such as we do like this.
No, it doesn't. It's free.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Did we miss anything in the news? Do you have an opinion or take on the news, dear listener? If so, tell me how the assembled thousands would get in contact with us, Bobby, and let us know that I've missed XYZ out of the PlayStation State of Play. I got the Pokemon news upside down and got you to read out Pokemon's left, right, and Chelsea, which is actually an Hawaiian salad bowl. Little did anybody know. How would they get in contact with us and say that they love a Hawaiian salad bowl.
You can give us a tweet over on Twitter. You can slide in the DM on Instagram at Unofficial Tour Podcast, or you can email us at questions@unofficialtourpodcast.com. And in any of those previous links, you can find the Discord page and join that bad boy for free too.
Wow. Do you know, curators as we are of one of the most successful gaming podcasts, independent gaming podcasts as well, known to man, whose opinion really matters because we're not paid off left, right, and Chelsea. You know, it feels good, doesn't it? Arriving at the triple figures. Bobby, how do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good.
Good, isn't it? I feel very humbled, very grateful to the listeners, very thankful for everything that's gone on, and thankful to people. We've had downloads on every continent on planet Earth, and that is
all seven of them.
Unbelievable. Even Antarctica? Boom. Done. Mm-hmm.
We got the space thing. We got the what you call it? The Russian science station down there.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Someone's listening there.
Igor.
Mm-hmm. Genuinely, we've, you know, six continents at least. Bobby tells me it's seven, but we'll go with that because it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. So thank you to everyone. There must be people that I don't know. I can't listen to a Japanese podcast because I don't speak Japanese, but people in Japan listen to the show. So we're very humbled, very grateful, and we'll continue to bring you content as long as you keep turning up and listening. So keep doing that. I think the only thing we ever ask, Bobby, is that they spread the word, tell a friend, subscribe. It's not much, is it? Click a button. Really? So, yeah, as we say, we're excited to bring you an exciting and interesting guest next week, and the run-up to 100 is scheduled to be an exciting time. This week, as I said in the What You've Been Playing, I stumbled across a strange difficulty spike slap bang in the middle of a Little Big Planet. Goodness knows why it was there. Possibly it was just my average gaming skills being tested to the absolute max. So this week, I thought I'd pose the question, strangely difficult levels in otherwise normal games. As always, we asked you guys your thoughts on the topic and have interwoven those into this feature. Now, every week we put up a post on Instagram where we ask, and that's where people comment. We also put it up on Twitter as well, and that's where people can comment too. People get a heads up early on the Discord that the show's coming out and the post has gone live so they can get their comments up nice and early, guarantee them a slot on the show. If you do comment, every month, we give the best comment a prize. And if you're in the Discord and you're just generally a good egg, you could win the Discord User of the Month, which nets you an Unofficial Controller Podcast mug from Redbubble. So, really, frightfully generous. So, Bobby, before we wade in knee-deep, almost Vietnam jungle style, through a leech-infested pit of strange difficult spikes, Bobby, have you ever experienced, a man of your prowess, bathed in platinums like a war hero's bathed in medals, have you ever experienced a strange difficulty spike in an otherwise normal game?
I mean, some of the Mega Man levels were just more difficult than other ones where you can breeze by maybe 80% of the game.
Mm.
And then the last couple, depending on the order you went into, which is like, what's happening here? I don't really think what's going on. Alice, Madness Returns. Nothing too difficult about that. So you have to start, you know, jumping over platforms and the weird camera angle. That was kind of odd. What else? I'm trying to think. Spyro the Dragon. Pretty simple. Just, you know, collect and go to the next door. Some of the flying levels, where you had to collect everything in one
flowless. God. Oh,
that was kind of, I mean, it shouldn't have not been that hard.
That is some of the most obscene bits of gaming that I've, oh my God, those Spyro, you're right.
Didn't think that was going to ever happen to me, but here I am on my 30th attempt, trying to get the last, you know, then something you can even find it. Well, where is it?
In that especially, it's kind of like, you've kind of got to get the perfect hookup, haven't you?
Yeah.
You can't miss a beat. Otherwise, you know early on it's not going to happen, don't you?
100%. I just killed myself right there.
you've got to get every single, you've got to pick them up at the right time. You've got to pick them up at the right angle to sort of cue yourself up for the next one. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. And it takes you a couple of goes to work out the order of which to attack it in as well, doesn't it? Which I often find quite frustrating. Yeah,
it does. I remember Chippendale playing with my sister, you know, no big deal, no problem. All of a sudden, not even the last level. The level before, I'm like, what's happening? Why can't we do this? We did the whole game.
Mm.
You know, stuff like that's just odd.
One that springs to mind, and I mentioned it in the post, is the on GTA San Andreas. There's a level where you're riding a dirt bike, and Big Smoke is on the back using an Uzi to shoot people off the train, and he says something. You know, every time you fail that, you get like a, you're only supposed to follow the damn train, CJ. And like, I've heard that so many times. Some of the levels in Vice City and San Andreas, even, where you have to control the remote control vehicles, they were obsessed with having those levels in, even back to the early GTAs where you had the little bomb cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this here? It doesn't make really any sense. It feels like a throwback to an older genre of gaming. Like, why am I flying a remote control plane, car, helicopter? Like, I don't want to. Why are you doing this? But it's a story level as well that locks off the rest of the game until you do it. Mm-hmm. I just find there's lots of games out there that are hard on purpose. Yeah. But even some of those hard games have levels. Like Demon's Souls has got sections in it that seem completely obtuse and mainly made to absorb your lives and make it more difficult than it needs to be. And, you know, other games, our first listener out the bag, Dylan 808 Cameron. Bobby, he's a
new listener.
He cites the Uncharted 2 train. Now, Uncharted's not a difficult game per se, because obviously they're regenerating health. But if you get mm-hmm. caught in the wrong moment or out, and if you try and bum rush it, so to speak, you get hit one too many times. Or in fact, in Uncharted lore, if you look, none of those bullets hit Drake at all until the last one hits. And what the screen getting redder indicates is that your luck is running out. Can you believe that? People have actually gone back and checked that statement after Naughty Dog. It's a true story. People have gone back to check that statement after Naughty Dog made it, and none of the bullets actually hit him until the last one that kills him. And it's just his luck running out. And that's why there's no health packs, because he never gets hit.
You learn something every day.
Quite a skillful bit.
I really had to compose myself, or you would have had to add another loop reel on this. That's for sure.
El Bucho says you're on your final written warning.
That's for sure.
So the Uncharted 2 train, that sticks in my memory too. I mean, it was a good couple of goes. What about you, Bobby? Did that pose a significant challenge to you?
To be honest, I don't really remember.
That's another great level as well, because from a game design point of view, because they've got this massive loop of track that literally loops around on itself until you, because obviously you go journey through like basically a jungle setting on the train, which is this big loop, and then there's almost a switch gate which takes you up into the mountain, obviously, as the game progresses. It's no spoilers because that's how the game starts. Mm-hmm. And you're on this loop until you get to the section you need to, and then it switches tracks and moves off into the, which I found when I saw a level break version of that where they actually panned it out and showed you how the Naughty Dog had pulled it off, I was like, that's genius. Because instead of doing one long piece of track from beginning to end, it basically just loop, put you on a big, you leave the station, then you enter this big loop, which you don't come off until you finish it. And then the train deviates and goes up into the mountains, obviously, to do the next section, which I've very, very clever. Very, very clever. Your brother, well, in the Unofficial Controller Podcast lore, my adopted son.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next?
Mm-hmm. Ginger's Game Room. He says, Crash Bandicoot 1. All is well until you hit the high road. And if that wasn't bad enough, you got to do a slippery climb after that. Also, what's for dinner, Dad?
It's Sunday, so we'll go to Nan's, Young Ginge, and we'll get a full... Oh, we can't because of Rona. Nan will drop off a plate of Sunday dinner that she's cooked that we can microwave. Mm-hmm. How's that? And seeing as you've been such a good boy this week, you can have a Milky Bar for dessert. Generosity Begins at Home. The High Road. Now, my memories of Crash are a little bit sort of warped. That's the one with the rope bridge, I believe. And Crash Bandicoot 1 was built on flat platform sections. The actual coding for the platform was flat. So you could land on it, even right on the edge, and you'd be okay. When they did the remake, they made them rounded cubes. So if you land just on the back edge, you slip off. So by changing the way that the game is built from flat surfaces to rounded edges,
it's much harder.
It's much harder. And even, obviously, back in the day, I think a lot of people worked out you could jump up and get onto the rope and then run along and miss the enemies and the you know precise timing that's required to clear the bridge. Because the bridge rope's also a rounded edge now, when you jump up to do the little trick, you slip off. You have to be pinpoint accurate. So Gingy's Game Room, good call. Bless his cotton socks, I hope as well. Up next, Finster Gamer. You can find him on Instagram. You can find him in the Discord. And he's also the author of Downright Square, which is a wonderful website on Instagram and out there in the real wild web where he reviews games, which is wonderful. Great place to go to get your gaming reviews. He says, the past week or two, I've been trying to mop up all the achievements on the Resident Evil remasters 1 to 3. I have one achievement left on Resi 2, and if I'm honest, I'm ready to throw in the towel. It's a mode called No Way Out that involves holding off 100 zombies in a small room, entering through three doors. Considering I've completed Resi 1 on invisible enemy mode and using nothing but a knife, the jump on difficulty to this is ludicrous, and it is the single hardest thing I've encountered in any game I've played. I got to 82 on my first attempt. Several hours and a steadily decline later was seeing me finish in the 20s. I thought, oh God, I hate it when that happens in games. As the will to live was increased, draining from my mortal shell. 100% would not recommend. We'll go back to that comment. But have you noticed that if you're in the flow and you get to a certain level and you die, but you maybe got 80% of the way through the level, you think, oh, fine, I'll breeze through it. For the next 15 to 50 attempts until you turn the machine off, you can't get any more than 10% into that level.
Yeah.
Why is that? You're trying too hard?
Your flow got smashed.
Yeah.
Just turn off, try again tomorrow.
This is something we can ask Mike. Our game's designed to knock you off your flow.
100%.
But we'll get the affirmation next 100%. Week, won't we? I'm so looking forward to that.
Me too, I'm pumped. You know what else is annoying? Gauntlet Legends. Gauntlet, what's it called? The new one for the PS1? Not the new one, but the PS4 game.
Yeah.
I beat the game on very difficult with my friends. No, a couple of issues, no big deal. Trying to get to the 50th floor, impossible for me. We die level 48 every single time.
Unbelievable.
You could checkpoint to level 25 and start, you know, from there, but you kind of lose all your one-ups.
Mm.
So you might as well just go back from level 1 and try it.
I've got it affirmed brutal. In my mind before I forget, what ranking did you get to in For Honor in the world?
I don't know. Now I'm probably low. Hold on. Or you can read the next one. I'll read Tom's. And then you can read.
Well, let's not let this moment of gaming greatness go, because Finster Gamer, looking to 100% the rest, he completed it in. I think he did, but
he did it. He posted it on Discord.
The enemies being invisible.
That's ridiculous.
How even?
Memory. Just you have to just play the game.
Using nothing but a knife. That is. Oh my goodness gracious me, Finster. I'll tell you one thing, Mickey, if I may call you Mickey. Sure. Absolutely unbelievable. Good effort there, son. Absolutely brilliant. I'll tell you what, I'll take the next one. Retro Gamer Thomas, he says, as the unofficial controller have mentioned, San Andreas, that's where I'll start. But it wasn't the train level for me. Well, it was for me. But the mission where you have to fly the RC planes to blow up vans, absolutely brutal. I never finished that level. I had to get a mate to do it for me. I admit, I'm not a real gamer. Sad, with a tear in the eye emoji. Also on San Andreas is the level where you have to shoot down the RC planes from the top of the building. That was very hard too. I also remember a race level on Vice City, which was so tough, but my weight worked out that if you rammed the leader into a shop front at precise time, he got stuck, and as long as you finished the race, you won. Of more recent games, I've found career mode on FIFA has some strange difficulty curves. For instance, you could smash people 10-0 on world-class mode, but don't get a kick on legendary, which is the next level up. I've managed to be competitive at legendary this year, but I don't think I'll go to ultimate. Thumbs up emoji from the RGT. Sports games with difficulty spikes? No, sorry, not here. Not welcome here. As for the remote control levels, you nailed it, son. They're absolutely just unforgiving. But, Retro Gamer Thomas, on point. He understood the question, and he answered with eloquence. The eloquence, the execution of eloquence, as always. Have you got me my answer?
Yeah, so in, well, I'm in the top 20%.
Wow.
Which is still, I don't know how, but my kill death ratio is top 19. The kills per minute is top 8. Kills per match is 14%.
So what with your love for honor and your love for trophies, Mike's going to be almost, it's going to be like a meeting Jesus moment for you.
It is, bro. Listen, I never played a game like this before. This is, to me, very unique. It's not just a battle mode. It's even how you have to defend and attack. You just can't hit the button. It's not going to work for you. You cannot spam before honor. You either know how to do it or you're getting wrecked.
Wow. So I'm intrigued to hear you pick apart his construction of For Honor. I'm excited for this.
The difficulty curve in that game is like, you either know the tutorial or you turn the game off and put it away for the rest of your life.
My understanding of that game is that that's kind of really how it went when it got released on the wild. There were some people like your good self that just clicked with it and were like, this is my jam. And there were some people that, you know, were hyped for it because the concept is pretty cool.
I got upset. I had 8 of my friends buy this game. I forced them to buy the game. Only 3 stuck with it with me the whole time. My boy Marlon, my boy Charlie, and my stepdad.
That's nice, though, isn't it? I've seen some great clips of you guys all mm-hmm. sort of think your stepdad pulls like the ultimate carry, saves you all, kills everyone, saves you all. I was like rooting for him at the end of it. Absolutely brilliant.
It's crazy.
Up next, we've got a
new listener. It's Marcus Rudin. I'm with you on Little Big Planet. Like, the game is mostly breezy, floaty platforming, and then you get into the wilderness.
Absolutely right, Mark. That's the whole reason why this episode was created, because of that. Marcus is a man that understands the problem. Up next, he used to be called the Irish Beef, but he's now got an unofficial controller doctorate in games. He's going to have some interesting questions for Mike next week. See Pliskin, a.k.a. Professor Pliskin. One of the many faults in game design, unfortunately, truth be told, I've been fortunate to not have that happen to me on more than a few occasions. Maybe that's just my wonderful taste in the arts for you. Smiling with a sweat droplet emoji. So that's not really a whole lot of strange jumps in difficulty from what I can remember. I did think about doing either the crypt or floating statue puzzles from Uncharted 3, but this can be solved with a simple Google search, which is how I did it when I was 13, I admit. However, that is nothing compared to the torture of my 12-year-old self faced in the mission Infrequent Flyer. Now, he's made an absolute solid call here from Assassin's Creed 2. I struggled with this when I played it last year. I haven't touched the most recent AC title since Unity's bad first few weeks, but 2, 3, and 4 hold a special, particularly strong place in my heart, especially 2. Maybe one day we'll do an AC retrospective. With its really unique setting and music, if you want to take me back, play Are the Dreams of Venice or Tour of Venice from the initial soundtrack to remind me of that kind of old romantic style of both the Renaissance period and my childhood. However, the biggest disappointment I felt with this title was when we got to use Da Vinci's flying machine that was hinted at several times in the game, where you pilot towards the Palazzo Ducale. To save some time, you not only have a very stiff glider, but it takes a while to turn as well, requiring the air from scattered bonfires to keep it in flight. But you're regularly pelted with fire arrows across the very high and crowded Venice rooftops and streets. I've crashed at least 9 times before I eventually got a perfect run. And you know the true pain, and you don't know the true pain until you crash suddenly. Wait a painful amount of time to try again, watch the same cutscene of Ezio readying the craft, and hearing one guardsman say, "Mako, sir, shoot, shoot, shoot the flying demon." Nine, he's sworn here, which is not allowed, flipping times. Hearing one guardsman say, thankfully, after a long flight, Ezio ditches the glider and watches it crash into a few more guards and onto the Venetian docks. The rest of the game is still one of my favorites in terms of atmosphere and the personal arc of the character over two decades. Yeah, well said. But more than anything, I'm glad for that moment, that piece of turd of a craft suffered as much pain as I did. Angry faced emoji times two. Bada Bingster got an early run out there. Mako, sir, shoot, shoot, shoot the flying demon. I, C. Pliskin, have to empathize with you because I also found that quite frustrating. It is quite stiff in the air. And unless you nail those bonfires, I just totally avoided the chance to sort of kick the guards on the way around as well. It was like, nah, I just need to get this where I need to and then move on. Do you remember that level, Bobby? Because you played Assassin's Creed during those early days.
No, I did not.
You didn't play Assassin's Creed?
Nope. The first Assassin's Creed game was Origins. And then I played Odyssey. And then Odyssey had this special PS4 version free of Assassin's Creed 3. I played Assassin's Creed 3, which I loved.
You would...
And then I played Valhalla.
I think you... Personally, I think you would love... The Ezio trilogy.
Well, I bought them all. They were on a huge sale on GameStop with original covers and everything for like $3 each.
Wow.
I bought 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
I would definitely want to play them. I just haven't the time to do it, but trophies or not, I don't care. I think the first one has trophies. I don't care. I want to play it. Everyone talks about that game.
Oh, I think from a trophy point of view, they're eminently doable. If you got them on PS3, there may be some online stuff, though, that might stop you getting the platinum, which means, I'm going to throw this out there, you're never going to play them.
Yeah, well.
Okay. We'll see. Who's next?
Well, we'll do a flip here, because you have to read someone special. But you just read somebody, so hold on. We got a new...
Where have you got this new listener from?
Right here. New listener. Digital Mockery.
Ah, I see what you're doing here.
Uh-huh. There's none that massively stick in the mind for me, but your question has reminded me of something I've heard on another podcast recently.
Wait, you don't listen to other podcasts, Digital Mockery. Don't let me catch you kissing someone else behind the bike shed, Sunbeam. You'll feel the back of my hand. There's only one show for you. It's our one, just to remind you, in case you go off and sleep with this other podcast. No. Let's put a ring on it right now, Digital Monkery. Let's make this solid.
He's okay. He said that in the 16-bit era, difficulty spikes were added to many games a certain distance in so that they couldn't be completed in a single rental period. The idea being that if people rented it, they'd be less likely to go purchase it if they pass a certain point. No idea how much truth there is there, whether it's an urban legend, but it's most interesting, and your question has reminded me of it.
Wow, Digital Monkery. New listener, straight off the bat there.
I definitely don't think that they made those games on purpose for rental purposes. Because once the game is purchased, it's it for the company. They can care less what the game is done and rental, especially in blockbuster times.
Yeah, you're right. You know, because it's blockbuster to make the money then, isn't it?
Yep. So yeah,
he makes that point there. The idea that if people rented it, there'd be less. So you've got a market that never buy games but rent games. So to punish those people that rent it, they make it multiple. But then again, I don't know. Does that then cause them to buy it? I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter, because if Blockbuster bought 100 games, the company still got 100 games. What do they care?
Interesting.
They got 100 game sales, right? So they don't care if you.
Again, that would be, we'll see if we can find someone, a programmer from the 16-bit era,
but just,
and we can
but
ask
just
them that question.
Back then, the games are not long.
No.
Contra's not long, bro. You play Contra in under 20 minutes and beat the whole game.
Yeah.
Nothing long about that game at all, but you keep dying over. Ninja Gaiden's not long either. But good luck in past third level. After 5 hours of trying. That's why the game is long.
That's how they made games long back in the day.
That's how they were, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, when I was a kid, that used to really grind my gears that I wanted to see more of a game, but it means, you know, you just got to these sections, you know, or you ran out of lives. You could take your first set of lives and it would get you so far, and then you'd run out, and then you'd be like back to the beginning again. That back to the beginning again was demoralizing. But
same thing with Super Mario. Like, there's no checkpoint, there's no password in some of these games, so you're constantly playing the same levels over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
to memorize them. You get to the last level of Mario and die, guess what? Back to World 1, buddy. Another 3 hours there.
Here's a man, the linchpin of the Unofficial Controller Podcast. He listens to every episode. He's not missed a second of airtime, and we love him for it. Bobaloba. I would say he's probably listened to some shows 3 or 4 times. He can't get enough. And quite frankly, he's a man of eloquence and taste. And therefore, Bobaloba doesn't do comments. Bobaloba does the finest gaming comments a podcast can buy. Not entirely sure if this is on point. Call of Duty has some very harsh skill-based matchmaking. Where oh, this is so on point for me. Where you can have a number of games against people of a similar caliber, and as a result of doing reasonably well in those, you'll get rewarded with a tough lobby or four. Only after you've struggled to compete for a few games do you get back into lobbies that are closer to your level. I've also heard the term engagement-based matchmaking used, where the game will know you're about ready to log off, so it drops you in a bot lobby full of ready targets to make you feel good about yourself. When I was in the SAS, I would get dropped into easy war zones just to keep my kill level high. And my abs tighter than stone. Bobaloba doesn't do gaming comments. Bobaloba does the finest gaming comments money can buy. Always bringing it right back to his militaristic shooter roots. But again, that's an interesting, another urban legend back to back with the game knows when you're about to log off, so it drops you in a bot lobby. If that's true, that sort of activity is close to loot boxing, if you ask me.
That would,
in my mind, that's like an absolute disrespect of your time and engagement in the game. And if I was playing a game that I knew was making those calculations, it would be gone in a heartbeat. Because that's part of the insidiousness that I don't like about online games. They're especially the modern wave, they're kind of built to be addictive. And I know people are struggling to turn these off. We've got some people in our Discord who remain nameless that kind of feel it's kind of ruined their gaming experience because they can't play another game because the risk reward drop of Warzone and Fortnite and other games has become so compelling. And obviously a group of friends that are so hooked on it too, that you can't escape the game and it pulls you in, and then you need another point, and then you get this another unlock on the battle pass, and then it's only X points to get those shades you really wanted for your character. You know, but if you're a games company and it's like, shall we spend all these millions making a single player compelling single player game, or do we spend half that money making a game that's going to make us 8 times as much in the multiplayer arena? Now, I know it's very hard to crack the stranglehold. There's bigger boys Fortnite, which is Warzone, and there's younger boys Fortnite, which is Fortnite. I mean, everything else that's gone up really against those has withered and died. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm an old...
And then a year later, they shut the servers off. You got a brand new game to play and do it all over again.
Yeah, all that money that you've put into your character is just gone. And, I shudder at the thought, really, but I don't know.
I never spent one penny in For Honor besides the game.
Fair play to you.
I wanted to. Don't get me wrong. Some of them look cool, but in reality, No.
A bot lobby full of ready targets.
I did buy the Batmobile in Rocket League, though. I'm sorry. That was $5 well spent.
I mean, it's your call, you know, but I don't know. I worry that maybe it's the death knell of... Because money talks, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily feel like everyone's enjoying themselves in these multiplayer games. They're just playing it because they're hooked. It's habit. It's easy. You know, why go push yourself through a single-player game that might be a little bit difficult when you can just log into this? Now, I know there's people that do both, but oof, my goodness gracious me. My goodness gracious me. Young adult man up next. You might know him as wan.gd30ce12. We just know him as young adult man. Most handsomest man. Mm-hmm. Or one of the most handsomest men. He says, good morning, fellas. You know, Fight Night wound me up. They had overpowered boxers when you get to a title match, so it was impossible to beat. GTA San Andreas would also wind me up at times on two missions specifically. The Lowrider mission with Caesar, and then when you chase a gang member on a street bike, any collectathon video game would also wind me up due to them being so difficult. They were fun, though. Games like DK64, Mario 64, Glover 64, and Banjo-Kazooie. Fight Night, you're absolutely right. Fight Night on the PS3 and 360. There was matches in that just made no sense at all. Like, you absolutely wail on the guy. And your face would look like you'd been dragged down the street. Like, why? It is what it is, I suppose. Young adult man nailing it there. GTA San Andreas again being cited as having this strange difficulty curve. I think most of those early GTAs had levels. You were enjoying yourself. And then, boom, out of nowhere came this one that just... And back in the day, you'd have to sit through all the cutscene again. You'd have to go through all that. And it was always those levels that had the 20-minute cutscene.
Can't they program it like, listen, I already saw the cutscene. It's registered. It's saved. I just can't skip it while I die. That's what makes it more annoying.
Yeah, that's... I guess it lengthened the game out. Like, you know, if you could have breezed every level, then, you know... But then again...
Like Manhunt. Over and over and over. I'm like, bro, I already know this guy's in the chair. I know the sniper's going to come out. I can basically dictate the scene to myself from memory of that and have no recollection of the level, just the cutscene.
Savage, isn't it?
Sanity.
We've got a new listener.
Chips are just potato biscuits. Which is... You know, I would say, okay, I like it.
That's true.
He says, Mike Tyson's punch out. The Mike Tyson at the end is almost impossible.
I never played the original punch out on this.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there are some bosses that are pretty hard. Some people can't even get to Mike Tyson. They got the Bengali Tiger, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He's hard. He's not easy.
I think the first one I played, I'm pretty confident I had Super Punch-Out for the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Thoroughly enjoyed that as a kid. I don't really remember how far I got in it.
And you know, that's not Mac. Like, Little Mac is not in Super Punch-Out. That's a new boxer. People think it's the same person as Mac.
I had no idea. I just got it. It looked good graphics at the time. I don't ever remember having it that long, though, so I don't know what happened to it. But I'm pretty confident I had it. Obviously,
I had both Mike Tyson punch out and punch out. Because when he did that, you know, got into legal trouble, they dropped the name and rebranded it with another Mr. Dream or something like that, I think it was.
Okay.
As just a skin swapped Mike Tyson.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, Batmull. I remember as a kid, I got indefinitely stuck on Harry Potter and the Falafel Stone on PS1. As soon as it wanted me to fly a broom through some rings, very reminiscent of Superman 64 and just as annoying. Maybe one day I'll go back to it and beat it. But for now, if I want to experience difficulty spikes, I'll play a From Software game because some of the bosses are major skill checks to being able to finish the game. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone on PS1 is actually a good game, but those broom flying levels, obviously, no thank you. everything you said about Spyro earlier stands here as well. Just not okay. I mean, when a From Software game has the bosses being major skill checks, I mean, they're kind of meant to be, but some are probably just unnecessary. It was tough enough to get there in the first place, wasn't it? You know, that's the test. But, you know, if they're a cakewalk, you wouldn't have any respect for it. So, who's next?
Colin Pitcher, 79.
Don't forget, he does our artwork for us, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Redbubble, all that. Yep. So if you want to check him out, it's Comic Pictures on Etsy, no space.
He goes, there are many games I played, some recently where I've had it, where I had that old, okay, just one more try at this bit, and if I don't do it this time, I'm switching it off. But I can't remember specifically what they were. Certainly, if I were to pluck out one from thin air, I would say that there were some devious difficulty spikes in Rayman Legends, particularly if you're trying to get all the lums in a level. Like most of these games, Cuphead, Ori, etc., it's not artificial difficulty, though there's a pattern that you just need to learn, and repeated obsessive attempts will get you there. That kind of stuff is fine. It's a challenge. Some stuff can be unfair where the deck is clearly stacked.
Rayman Legends was fun, wasn't it? I watched someone play through that game and I always enjoyed looking at it. I thought it was cool. Difficulty spikes aside. Cuphead, I don't know. Is it difficulty spike? I mean, yeah, there's difficulty spikes in there. It's just bloody tough little cookie anyway, isn't it?
If you play it on easy, it's just, okay, it's easy. But if you're trying to go for that, some of the trophies in there, the achievements in there, it's ridiculously hard. Probably anybody has the platinum for this game.
Someone else that agrees with Cuphead, it's the Monster Jam Show, and he's a new listener. He says, Cuphead, okay emoji, fire emoji, thumbs up emoji. Up next, we've got the loveliest man on the internet, one of the kindest souls you shall ever meet, on his road to thinner me. What's he got to say, Bobby?
He says, hello, guys. I think for me, it has to be the Minecraft levels in Donkey Kong. I would agree. Most of the games are a breeze unless you're collecting everything. But when it's time to make your way through the minecart levels, it's a totally different ballgame. I've lost so many lives and lost my mind so much, I've never been the same since. With a tears laughing emoji.
Donkey Kong on the SNES he's referring to.
It's super. Some of the levels in there are ridiculous.
Oh, mate.
Especially you're playing with two players.
The one that graphically is amazing, where the light swings and you can only really see where that light is and you can't quite see the ends of like that level. My God, I
want to. You know what's also hard? Some of the levels in Goof Troop sometimes were kind of hard. Some of those puzzles were like, bro, what's happening here?
Again.
Goof Troop is amazing, bro. Two players, it's really fun.
But is that stuff in there just to prolong its length?
I don't think so. I just think as you progress through the game, you puzzle-solving skills they assume would be better. And then it's like, okay, so you did all these, right? And then you look at this puzzle, you're trying to figure it out, and you're for hours. And then you realize it's just three moves. And you're over here beating your brain, trying to bring it left, right, up, down, center. Oh, restart the room. It's just three moves, man.
It's three like, moves, man.
Because you're so puzzled out, your brain is like frying. Can't think about no more puzzles anymore.
I guess that's...
It's like work. When you're at work, listen, I gotta go get a coffee. I gotta get out of here. And you come back and then boom, finished.
Don't you find that though? Sometimes if you go away and let the timing solidify in your brain, you can come back and cakewalk some of this stuff. But if you force it there and then, you're gripping the pad so tight, your timings are off because you're all tensed up. They say that you learn muscle memory while you're asleep. So if you get to a section where you're stuck in the game, turn it off, play something else, or go to bed. Do something else.
I realized that in my life. That's what I do now.
Yeah.
It's been really working so far.
And then you go back to it and it's a breeze. Like sometimes you can force it, but then the enjoyment's getting further. Mm-hmm. So when we mentioned earlier in the feature where you get 80% into a level, then you try again. I think a listener made that reference and you can't get any further. It was Finster game, wasn't it? You can't get any further than 10% in and you're like, why? What am I doing difficult? I know this is happening. And when you get killed by that same guy as well, when you restart a level and he becomes like this nameless collection of pixels becomes like your nemesis, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I knew it. And you kind of give yourself like performance anxiety over before the level even loads. You can already picture this guy, can't you? He's telegraphed hours back. You can see his face as he swings down on you as you try and rush, and just that corner of a pixel catches you and it's done. Like, no, not here. One man that doesn't struggle with anything in life. He's handsome. He's eloquent. He's cash rich. And he's got an awfully good looking partner. Who, just to clear things up, is female. Okay? Because there's an Italian stallion. It's Bada Binks to Retro Gaming. He says, I got stuck on the crew too. And as soon as I had to do a plain tutorial, sir, gave up, switched it off and uninstalled. Anything where you need to fly a plane, I find difficult. I don't know why. Italians are never meant to fly, so it's not something that we do. We just naturally move very slowly across, stylishly and eloquently. So we move from place to place. It is how we do it. Yes, this is what we do. Casually sipping espresso and being very calm at every move we make. No flying a plane, sir. If God wanted me to be a plane, sir, he'd give me wings, sir. If my mother had wheels, sir, she'd be a bicycle. Okay. Okay. Here we go, sir. Looking down and sad emoji, exclamation mark, sir. Trophy, because I am a winner. You are a winner. Yeah, we are all winners here, sir. Stand up for the national anthem, sir. And everybody sit down for the national anthem, sir. Controller emoji. It's an unofficial controller, sir. It's an amalgamation of the PlayStation and Xbox controller, sir, because we are all embracing all gamers here, sir. It could even be a pro controller for the Switch, yeah, sir. Mm-hmm. So everybody is included, sir, in my comments, sir. Thank you, sir. Bye, sir. I've never played the group. Crew 2. It's not really my wheelhouse of things that I would go for normally, but I've heard the Crew is the game that's basically gives you the whole of the United States of America, or a very condensed version of it, to play through in the air, in boats, and in cars or wheeled vehicles. So it gives you every avenue to explore. Sounds amazing. Have I played it? No. Can I comment on the difficulty of the plane levels? Also no. But I take the Italian stallion at face value. If he says it's tough, it's tough. Final letter out the post bag this week, Bobby. Who we got?
He is a new listener. Spoon Hooligan. One shot, one kill in 2007's Modern Warfare completely ruined my veteran run. That is probably trophy based.
Mine. I played that. I can't remember the one shot, one kill. I don't know whether that's the end level where you're in the aeroplane. It's been a long time since I've played Call of Duty, I have to admit.
Saints Row 3 had some, not come to memory.
I've heard Saints Row 3 banded around as well.
There was a couple levels. I'm like, what is going on here, dude? Especially the Genki Balls, which are hilarious. I love that game, dude.
I think I had it. I think Saints Row 1 launched on the original 360, and I think I had it, but I could never quite get around the, I don't know, I just didn't gel with it.
Listen, from 1 to 2, they're like regular, kind of like Grand Theft Auto games.
Mm-hmm.
When Saints Row 3 started, it was a mockery of Saints, of Grand Theft Auto. They went the whole comedic route. Different, totally different. Not even the same game from 2.
Really?
Which it's like a satire on these games. Like, it's not as serious as the first two. Saints Row 3 is more like, all right, here's a joke, but we're open world. We're like Grand Theft Auto. There's cars. There's missions where you have to do insurance fraud and you can ragdoll your body and cars for insurance.
I remember that. Was that in 2?
3.
I think it might have been the earlier ones as well, because I don't think I played 3. But I do remember the insurance fraud.
3 is so insane. So insane. I based my character off Gianna Michaels. Yeah.
Which for a PG show, don't Google that, please. Don't. It's Shawn Michaels' sister. That's all we'll say. It's a wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a wrestling joke. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wrestling going on with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's that said and done. I tell you one man who doesn't suffer with difficulty spikes, and he finishes all games just by looking at them. Some say he used to work at a playtester, and every game that went out was so frustratingly difficult after it said it was easy that a lot of games companies went out of business.
Hmm.
He appears to us in the form of Stingray. He appears to members of various different religious sects as burning Bibles, burning bushes, and an elephant god with more arms than I've got sense. Either which way, he tears down Fifth and Main at an incredible speed. It's time for a peek in what we affectionately call Stingray's Boot. What's next between some counterfeit nappies and a dodgy copy of Battle for Endor this week? These are the new release highlights for the week, February 22nd to February 28th, 2021. Listeners, these are out digital or physical, or will be by the time this podcast is in your feed, but could be. Can you fly, Baba Boy? It could be region dependent. Now, I've got a mummy that I'm happy with. Have you got a mummy?
Not really, but I guess I'll figure it out.
Okay. I'll go first. Dry Drowning on the Switch, February 22nd. I think this would be your mummy, to be fair. Dry Drowning is a psychological investigative visual novel set in a futuristic dystopian city. Follow the story of Mordred Foley, unscrupulous private detective haunted by his dark past, and a look into the series of macabre serial killings inspired by Greek mythology.
Oh, okay. You know what? Sounds good. Up next, we got Heavy Metal Machines. Every time I see the word heavy metal, I think of that magazine with all the awesome art. They made a couple movies. But this is not it, obviously. But Heavy Metal Machines, PS4, Xbox One, February 23rd. Heavy Metal Machines is a one-of-a-kind, free-to-play multiplayer vehicular combat game where players engage in four-on-four intense battles, controlling lethal vehicles in a post-apocalyptic arena. So why now, can't we just get Twisted Metal Black?
If they had some licensed heavy metal tunes,
this would be fire.
That could be like the new version of Rock and Roll Racing by Interplay that we talked about last week. Yeah. Heavy Metal Machines could be its spiritual sequel, but they've missed the boat. Unless someone messages in, feel free, because we're always open to someone to message and say, you got this wrong, you got that wrong, you don't know anything, George. Heavy Metal Machines is exactly what you said it was. You know nothing about games. Fair play. That's why I do a podcast, okay? Yeah. Those that don't know anything, do shows. Those that know everything, comment to the people that make podcasts. Boom. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes down. This is going to be my mummy. It's not really, because it's a switch from the normal style, but it's Persona 5 Strikers, PC, PS4, and Switch, February 23rd. Join the Phantom Thieves and strike back against the corruption overtaking cities across Japan. A summer vacation with close friends takes a sudden turn as a distorted reality emerges. Reveal the truth and redeem the hearts of those imprisoned at the center of the crisis.
Up next, we got Rogue Heroes, Ruins of Tassos for PC and Switch, February 23rd. Rogue Heroes is a 1-4 player classic adventure with modern rogue-lite elements.
Yay!
Team up with friends to combat dungeons, explore an expansive overworld of secrets, and take down the Titans to save the once peaceful land of Tassos.
Okay, another roguelite. Slam it in the bin. Passes me by like wind in my hair on my bicycle. Next. Fights in Tight Spaces on PC, February 24th. A stylish blend of deck building turned base-tastic. It's a game about tic-tacs. A thrilling animated fight sequences in classic action movie settings. Learn to balance your hand, momentum, positioning to overcome the odds, to defeat your adversaries. Build your deck, control the space, and live to fight another day. This one looked pretty cool, to be fair. Up next, Bobby, what we got?
We got Castle Kong for the Switch. February 25th, relive classic arcade action in an all-new title. 4 stages, 22 levels, and a kill screen. 1 coin, 3 lives, set the high score. Stop the evil Baron Man and save Princess Girl, meaning no restarts or additional lives.
That's what the 1 coin means, I presume. Up next, Hellpoint on the Switch, February 25th. Hellpoint is an intense action RPG taking place on Irid Novo, a derelict space station soaked in an intoxicating dark sci-fi atmosphere. Fight dreadful creatures, face the cosmic gods, and unravel their twisted story. Should the challenge be too great, play with a friend in local or online co-op.
Up next, we got Hot Brass for PC, February 26th. As an elite SWAT operator, think fast and put your tactics to the test to master a series of missions and save lives. Summon your teams up to 4 players in online and local co-op, or hone your skills solo. Don't just be the best. Be the best of the best. It was a great movie.
Up next, the award for the Souls-like. It's Katana Kata, PC. PS4, Xbox, and Switch, February 26th. Indie Souls-like with the innovative fight system where you practice your katana on the path for endless improvement again and again. Now, Bobby, while I've got my teeth in, I'm going to reach into the back of Stingray's battered-looking Nissan Bluebird, pull out a copy of Cliffhanger by Sly Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
What's your VHS pick?
Because it was my, you know, my people's, my Dominican people's, their Independence Day. Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to pick Vampires versus the Bronx.
A classic Stingray.
There are some Dominicans in there, and like it's a pretty funny movie. I like it. I mean, it's stupid but funny. One of those movies.
One couldn't really ask for any more, could one, in a film?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We've run out of script. So to those that paid attention at the start of the show, they know that I've got one last question to ask you, Bobby. So, Odders, put your Brady guides down, friend. Put your Jack's official guides down as I ask Bobby, Bobby, what are you hoping to play?
I'm hoping to finish the 4th chapter of Sniper Elite 3. That's for sure. That'd be fantastic. Try to finish up Cyberpunk and then just do the last trophy needed for We Were Here Too. Other than that, you know, that's it for me. What about you?
Well, I'm hoping my spare parts bonanza arrives and the listeners just inundate me with PSPs, working, non-working parts, UNDs, the lot. You know where I am. Hit me up in the Discord. That's the beg out the way. I don't ask for much ever. So I want the PSPs. Give me all your PSPs now. Yeah, other than that, I'm going to be playing Africa. I might, got a couple of levels to finish off on Little Big Planet, and then I might sort of tear into two on that. I also need to double down on my PS5 time and play a PlayStation 4 backwards compatible game on there, which is Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one of the reasons why I decided to dust off the Little Big Adventures, Little Big Planets, Little Big Adventure is something completely different. A game starring Twin Sun on PC and on the PS1. Little Big Planet is that I wanted to run into Sackboy and be able to eloquently discuss the changes. And obviously the big change is the fact that you don't create in Sackboy's Adventure. It's just a standard platforming 3D platform collect 'em up game. But I wanted to be able to cast a lens across all versions and say, you know, this is where we're at. Obviously in 1, there was very little story. In 2, there's a bit more story. In 3, there's a lot of story. And in Little Big Planet, Sackboy's Adventure on the PS4/5. There's a lot of story, and it's more of a story-based platforming linear game. And I just wanted to really just look how that game had sort of grown and developed over time, which is often the reason why I go back and play these really old games, because I want to try and understand how they've evolved and changed, much like Pokemons or Salad Bowls from Hawaii, Bobby. I like to evolve over time and be able to sort of understand the nuances of changes within it. So there is method to the madness. It's not just like I'm living in a time bubble of 2008, listening to chitty pop music and drinking hooches. Oh no. Oh no. There's method to the madness. Mm-hmm. And if they can't link it up, I finally join the dots in the sky for them. Simple, really. I'm a man of very simple means and tastes. Just give me your goddamn PSPs. and that, I would say, is that, Bobby. Anything more to say? Obviously, next week, very excited for our guest. Very honoured to be among such hallowed titles as The Getaway. obviously, and For Honor, and This Is Football, I think, which was his first game. So if anyone's got any questions about that, please let us know. And we shall ask Mike next week. So we'll see you next week for a fun special. And I would say that's all we have time for. Thank you. So excited about next week. I can't even finish this week. That's all we have time for you for this week, listeners. As always, thank you for your time. Look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. Remember, there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do that counts. Bobby, see you next week. And stay safe.
You too, bro. Peace out.
Hi, it's George here from the Unofficial Controller Podcast. Just taking a moment to, first of all, thank you for listening. It means a hell of a lot to us. Secondly, every week we bring you free content, the latest news, the new releases, a feature of note, normally something to do with games or gaming past, be it one of our history of documentaries or an insight into the industry itself or how games have affected us as people. Yes, we incorporate you, listeners, into that. All we ask is that you drop a little comment on our post on social media and you can get featured on the show. Hey, do you know what? You may even win a prize. The only charge for this is £0, zero pence, $0. That's right, no money. But all we ask is that you like, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you found this show. And if you're feeling a little bit cheeky, tell a friend, get them to do the same. We have a Discord that's free for you guys to all join in and get involved in. And the community on Instagram and Twitter is alive and thriving. So don't be a lonely gamer. Make yourself known. Thank you. And now it's time to begin this week's entertainment. Take care, guys.